are talking about the redefining happiness. And if ever there's an area, you know, having gone through what we've gone through, to really know what happiness is and experience happiness and to be happy in your life, not just some fleeting emotional thing, but to really be happy from the very core of your being, to be satisfied and happy. And we've been talking about it. Really, it's the Beatitudes, which is called the Beatitudes of the Kingdom. And it's how you live when you get into the kingdom. It's how life is to be lived when you're in the kingdom of God. But this morning I want to do a little bit different, because I want to do one about how do you get into the kingdom. Because many times I've found that people think they're in the kingdom and they're really not in the kingdom. So we're going to talk about that today. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And today is the pure are happy. And so let's pray today. Father, we ask you that you'd open up our understanding. And I pray, God, that you open up hearts today, people that need to know where they stand with you, if they are in the kingdom or if they're not, if they're really going to heaven or they're not. Father, I ask you that's the most important question we'll ever answer in our lives. So I pray, God, would you go beyond even what's said today, that you would go on and open up the hearts. You alone are the great teacher. Lord, we need no man to teach us, Lord, but you've got to teach us. No matter who's speaking, who's sharing, who's talking, who's communicating, Father, you alone are the great teacher. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask you, would you take spiritual and open up the hearts and the minds and the spirits of people today? We love you with all our hearts. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Amen. You can be seated today. The pure are happy. Everybody say that with me. The pure are happy. So the question would be, what does the word pure mean in the Bible? And let me give this to you, and this is going to really make you feel good today. The word means free from any impure mixture, totally and completely innocent, one who has been entirely cleansed from sin. How many, when you read that, you think, what? Let's just read it again. Pure means, here are the happy. Pure means free from any impure mixture, totally and completely innocent, one who has been entirely cleansed from sin. Completely innocent, spotless, blameless. My first thought reading that is, how in the world could I ever get there? How in the world could I ever get to that position? And remember, the Beatitudes are how you get, you know, how you live in the kingdom. But this one deals with how do you get into the kingdom? How do you enter the kingdom of God? Maybe you're here, maybe you're visiting, maybe you've been here for a little while, but maybe you think you're in the kingdom, or maybe you even know you're not in the kingdom. And how do you get there? And all that. And there's a lot of misconstrued ideas today. Let me kind of help you today. Blessed are the pure in heart, the spotless, the completely blameless, the cleansed. The only way I could ever get to that would be a miracle. The only way I could ever become that would be a miracle. How many need a miracle in you? The only way I'd ever get to that, and the Bible calls it grace, that it'll take a miracle, little a miracle of grace. I remember 43 years ago over on 8181 Airline Highway, where a Home Depot is right now, there was a Oak Manor Motor Hotel. And I attended a little outreach ministry, and I'd gone there numerous times, but I remember the morning when God did a miracle in my life. And I remember the day when I'd sat through one altar call after another. I'd sat through one time when there'd been a pulling for those that want to be saved or want to enter the kingdom of God. And I remember something happened that morning that was absolutely changed my life forever. A miracle happened in my life. I mean, God did a work of grace, and I'll explain it more as we go along. And I believe there's people here just like me sitting in the church, and maybe you've been here numerous times. But there's going to come a time when God is going to do a miracle in your life. When you're literally going to know, for some reason, that this is the day. And you respond in a way that you've never responded in your life. And you realize that really you thought you were saved, but you weren't really saved. That is the biggest tactic of the devil, is to tell people they're saved when they're not really saved. I remember one of the biggest things was Carrie Stevens sitting in the front row. Carrie came to church many, I don't know how many, 10 Kerry came to church 10 years. I don't know if he sat on the front row back then, but he was not quite on the front row back then. But he came for 10 years. And but the day came, I think Brother Samuel, right? Brother Samuel came and preached that morning. And that morning, listen, it was different. There was a miracle happened in his heart. Now he knows the Lord. But he sat in the pews for 10 years. The pews that, you know, floated away and they're gone somewhere now. He sat in the pews for 10 years. But there happened that morning a work of grace. And I'm going to tell you, one of the biggest lies of the devil is to think that you're saved when you're not saved. I'll go on that. So let me tell you something else about myself. I thought I was saved many years before I was ever saved. I came to church. I went to church and attended. I thought I was saved. How many of you thought, let me just ask, how many of you thought you were saved before you really got saved? Let's see your hands. Look at you. Many in here thought they were saved. I believe that's one of the devil's greatest tactics, is to convince people that they're saved when they're not saved. But I believe it's saved. But Pastor, I believe in God. Listen, even the devil believes in God. In fact, the devil probably believes in God more than you believe in God. Because he's seen him and he knows him. And so I don't think the devil's got one iota of a doubt that there's a God. And blessed are the pure in heart. And here's what it says in Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall, for they will what? See God. John 3, chapter, look how this chapter ends in John chapter 3. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see what? See life. There's that word again, same word that's found in the other chapter. This John chapter 3 says, they shall not see life. There was a Pharisee, here's the beginning of this chapter. There was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. And he came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know, everybody say, he said, we know. We know, see, he believed, we know that you are a teacher who has come from, he believed that Jesus was from God. So here's a Pharisee who believed that Jesus was a teacher sent from God. See, all the Pharisees were not bad Pharisees. Pharisees get a bad name across the board, but it's a broad brush we paint with them. But there were many godly Pharisees in that day. And so this godly Pharisee came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you're doing if God were not with him. We know God's with you. Jesus replied, Verily, truly, I say it to tell you, no one can, everybody say see. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born. No one can see the kingdom of God. There it is again. No one can see or enter or experience or live in the kingdom of God unless they are born again. You cannot see life. You cannot see God. You cannot see the kingdom unless you're born again. Look what it says, verse 4. How can someone be born when they're old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, Verily, truly, I say to you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, because he was. What are you talking about? I thought it was enough just to be a good guy. I thought it was enough to be a Pharisee. And Jesus comes to this godly man who was, and I'll tell you about what all they do in just a moment. But he says, you must be born. He said, don't be surprised at what I'm saying. You must be born again. And just as it was surprising to Nicodemus, it can be surprising to some of you sitting in this church this morning. That there's something that is required more than just attending church or coming or knowing that Jesus exists or knowing that God is real. It's beyond that. Jesus looks at this guy and says, you must be born. And he was surprised. And Jesus says, you should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. So number one, my number one thought is this. You must be born again. You must be. He didn't say you might be, you should be, you can be if you want to be. He said you must. Everybody say must. You must be born again. Marvel not, do not be surprised. You must be born again. If you're not born again, you'll not be able to see God. You'll not be able to see life. You'll not be able to see the kingdom of God. That means you'll not experience it. You'll not enter into it. You'll not know it. You won't. You must be born of water, which is natural birth. And you must be born of the Spirit, which is a spiritual birth. Every one of you has been born naturally. You must be born of the Spirit just as real as you were born of the natural. Just as a day and just as an hour and just as a minute, you know the date of your physical birth. There has to be in your life a time when you know this was the day I was born spiritually. This was the day I was born again. It's not some vague thing, some what you know. There's a day that you know that you were born again. Jesus said this to Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee. Let me just say this again. There were many good Pharisees in that day. There weren't all, but this guy Nicodemus was a good, godly Pharisee. Let me tell you something about him. They were the most conservative theologians of their day. They fought for the inerrancy and the inspiration of Scripture, where the Sadducees didn't. They fought against them. They taught to live by the Bible. They tithed 10% of their income. They fasted. They prayed. They went to synagogue every Sabbath. They were in church. They memorized the Bible. To be a Pharisee, you had to memorize the first 5 books of the Old Testament. I know that's old hat. Most of you have already done that, you know, in your life. They memorized the first 5 books of the Old Testament. So I know that, listen, so they memorized. So here's what's amazing. They went to church. They prayed, they fasted, they tithed, they memorized Scripture, they believed in God. And Nicodemus believed in Jesus. I know you come from God. And here's what's amazing. Jesus told the man, unless you are born again, you will not enter the kingdom of God. He went to church, he fasted, he prayed, he sang songs, he memorized Scriptures, he believed in God, he believed in Jesus, and Jesus kept it. But unless you've experienced a second birth, you'll not enter the kingdom of God. He literally said, you're not going to heaven, you're going to hell. And it surprised him, and Jesus said, don't be surprised by this. Don't be surprised that I've said to you, you must be born again. I know you believe in God. I know you believe in me. I know you all that. I know you do all these. But unless you are born again, you will go to hell. Man, I mean, if you're not born. See, you're not going to heaven unless you're born again. You have to have. So can I ask you something? Let me ask you something. What are you basing your eternity on? You go to church? That you tithe? That you believe in God, that you believe in Jesus, that you believe, is that what you're basing your eternity on? See, one of the bad things is altar calls is a new phenomenon in terms of Christianity and how they did and what they did. Let me just say this, because when you began to believe this, you're basing your eternity on that you attend church. Well, Nicodemus did that. Are you basing your eternity on that you believe in Jesus? Well, Nicodemus believed in him. Are you basing your eternity on that you believe in God? What Nicodemus believed on God. Are you basing your eternity on that you fast? Nicodemus fasted. Are you basing your eternity on that you know the Bible? Nicodemus knew the Bible. And Jesus come before this godly man and says, you must be born again. And he was absolutely blown away by that. He said, what, how, began to ask all, and Jesus says, you were born naturally one time, and you got to be as real born spiritually as you were naturally. There's got to be an experience that you've experienced that you know you're totally different from the day that you were born. There's nothing like watching a newborn baby come out of the womb, because you see their eyes look around everywhere. It's a brand new place. And Jesus looks at this man and tells him, you, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must experience a second birth if you're going to go to heaven. You cannot see God. You cannot see life. You cannot see the kingdom unless you are born again. Your eternity should be based not on all those other things, but based on literally, have you been born again? Have you been born? If you're born again, you go to heaven. Like Jesus said, you must be born again. Because your eternity hinges on that. Don't you think it would be important to know when it happened? That it happened in your life? That you experienced it? If your eternity is based on that, wouldn't it be utmost important to know that happened in your life, in your children's life? And so you need to know this. You know when you were born naturally. Most of you remember your birthday. Sometimes you get old enough, you don't remember quite when you were born. But you need to know when you were born spiritually too. Well, can you imagine if you asked, if you went around and somebody said, hey, when were you born? Well, I'm not, that's always been a tough question for me. I don't know when I was born. Maybe I was born when I was a kid. No, I was born before that. I remember I was born before that. And so you look at somebody when, and they're just kind of, you know, not really sure when they were born naturally. And you go, you know, call the paddy wagon. There's something wrong. Listen, it ought to be as just as off if you ask somebody, when were you born again? And they go, well, that's always been a tough, you know, that's always been a tough question for me. I don't know if I was born, you know. Listen, when you do that, odds are you're not born again. Because just as real as you know the date, August 18th, 1955, I came in the world, cost me $2. Come on, somebody. I was born on an Air Force base in California. It cost my dad $2 because he ate a meal with my mom. Come on, somebody. I always used to say, I came in free, and if the Lord comes back, I go out free. Come on, somebody. And so what happens in life is you need to know as real as the date of your physical birth. Everybody right now in your brain. I want everybody out loud to say the year of your birth. Everybody, 1, 2, 3. Now, every one of you, if I were to say, tell me the date of your second birth. Tell me when you were born again. Tell me the date of your second birth. Let's do that right now. Some of you got to think about it, you know, because some of you know experience, but trying to remember what date it was, you know, kind of hard. Everybody ready? 1, 2, 3. Now look at that. Now maybe you're sitting here this morning and you weren't able to say a date. You were sitting here this morning thinking, well, you know, you were able to say a date. I'm not sure you know. Listen, are you basing your eternity on that? Number two. Many people have never really been born again. Matthew 7, Jesus says it this way. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And how many goes there? How many? Is destruction, do you think destruction is heaven or hell? You're right. The broad road is the road that leads to our hell, and many enter through it. Go to the next one. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life. You think life is heaven or hell? Heaven. And only a what? Only a few. Now, I want to ask you very simple. Many are on the broad road to destruction. Few are on the narrow road to life. Many are going to hell, and few are going to heaven. I know that bothers you, but the deal is, let me ask you another question. Is many, the word many, more or less than the word few? More. So that tells me more people are going to hell than going to heaven. Have you ever been to a funeral where the preacher stood up and said, the guy died, he's going to hell? Have you ever been to a funeral where the guy said, guy went to hell? Almost every funeral I ever go to, some way or the other, they get him into heaven. Is that right? They get him into heaven. Most people would be glad that Jesus doesn't preach a lot of funerals. But watch this. Matthew 8 and 21. Look at Matthew 8. Do I have that one? Matthew 8 and 21. No, I didn't have this. I forgot to write this one. Matthew 8, Jesus told him, he told this one guy, come and follow me. And the guy said, no, I've got to go bury my father. And he said, let the dead bury the dead. Do you know what he was saying? Let everybody go into hell, bury that guy that just went to hell. I look at Matthew 7. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, everybody say the word every. Every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree, everybody say every. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Everybody say every. Every tree. Listen, every tree that does not bear, thrown into the fire. Pastor, I've tried to do the right thing. Pastor, I've tried to bear good fruit. I've tried to do that. But listen, it takes a miracle. It takes a miracle in your life. It's not some will. It's not some self-will that you decide to stop doing drugs, like they say, or stop doing bad things. It takes a miracle to become pure. It takes a miracle of God. And listen, the great thing is, it's free and it's available to everybody. Whosoever will can have the miracle. Whoever wants it can be changed. Whoever wants it can have the miracle happen in their life. Whoever wants to be born again can be born again. One of the big keys is I've learned this. Never take for granted when God is tugging on your heart to do that. To think that you can do it in your own time, because He won't always knock and He won't always tug. And the problem in your life is you need to obey God when God moves on your heart. Obey Him in that. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. Don't put it off. Because when you put it off and say, I'm going to think about it, I'm going to do it tomorrow. When you do that, you've made a decision not to do it. So when you do that, he said, listen, that's why so many people are not born again. Listen, one of the keys is this. It's easy to get the miracle, but here's the miracle. The miracle is not believing in Jesus. The miracle is not believing in God. The miracle is not knowing that there's a God. That's not a miracle. See, many people believe in God. Many people believe in Jesus, but they're going to hell. That's why so many people are not born again, because, listen, here's the key. They will not give up ownership of themselves. They will, listen, and some of you here are going to hell because you want to run your own life. But I believe in Jesus. I believe in Him. Let me tell you, the devil and his demons are going to hell not because they don't believe in Jesus. Look at James chapter 2. You believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. There's not a demon on planet Earth that doesn't believe in God. Every one of them, and there's not a demon on earth that doesn't believe in Jesus. Every one of them know He exists. Remember when that the sons of Sceva were trying to cast out the devil, and they said, Paul we know and Jesus we know, but who are you? So they knew Jesus. They knew Jesus, but they're going to hell. Why is that? Because every one of them want to run their own life. Every one of them does their own will. They do not do the will of the Father which is in heaven. They're going to hell because they want to run their own lives. Because we've misunderstood what it means to believe in Jesus. Confess with your mouth. Confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart. But let me, we've misunderstood what that means. We believe it means just like the demons. They believe in God. They believe in Jesus. And yet they're going to hell. Nicodemus believed in God and believed in Jesus, and yet he was going to hell unless he had been born again. Listen, if you're here and you let Jesus run your life, you're going to heaven. But if you're here and you believe in Jesus and you believe in God, but you run your own life, you're going to hell. You're not going to heaven. But I fast, I pray, I love, I really love everything I know about Jesus. You're going to hell if you've not been born again. If you've not experienced a second birth as real as your first birth, you've just joined a club. You've mentally assented to everything we believe in, like, and enjoy. But you're going to hell because you are running your own life. Matthew 7, Jesus said it this way. It's very tough. Not everyone who says to me, what? Not everybody that goes to church. Not everybody that fasts. Not everybody that prays. Not everybody that memorizes. Not everybody that believes in me, Lord, calling me Lord, Lord. Not everybody that does that. Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Watch very carefully. There's only one way to do the will of God, and that is through grace, and that is when you are born again. Look what verse 22 says. Many. Everybody say the word many. All those that's on the broad way, deceived, thinking they're going to heaven. Many on that road are walking that road, knowing they believe in Jesus, they believe in God, they fast, they pray, they do all these things. And yet the day is going to come when God is going to say, you are not saved. You're not born again. You've never experienced it in your life. Yeah, but I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. I call him Lord. Now watch what happens. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons. And in your name perform many miracles. Help me here. He didn't say thank you. When he got up there, he didn't say, well, I want to thank you for prophesying and casting out devils. And I want to thank you for that. Just want to thank you. Let me ask you another question. If many people who are actively engaged in the work of God, prophesying, casting out demons, working miracles, are not saved, how many more are that just come and sit on a pew are not saved? Many are on the road that leads to hell. Few are on the narrow, the small road, because only a few people will allow Jesus to really be Lord. You know what a fanatic is? A fanatic is somebody that loves Jesus more than you. Look at that guy. He's always bringing his Bible. Look at that guy. He's always sharing about Jesus. Look at that guy. He's always telling. Look at that guy. He's always. Well, there's only a few people going to heaven. There's only a few people born again. You know that old saying that if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all? It really is true. So many people have never really been born again. I walked the aisle. I don't know how many of you walked the aisle many, many times in your life. I walked the aisle many times in my life. Never got born again. Loved the message. Wept. Got emotional about it. I kept walking. Listen, have you ever prayed, God, if I'm not saved, God? That does you no good. God, if I'm not saved, would you save me, God? That doesn't work. Unless you know you're a sinner. God, if I'm a sinner. Number three. You're so excited this morning. Number three, birth is a radical change. Birth is a radical change. You must be born again. Birth is a radical change. Many people have the testimony, I got saved young, but then I got away from God. I rededicated my life later on, but nothing really ever changed. It's not until you give God complete control of your life that you experience a radical change of your life. You can be church all your life. Listen, let me tell you something. Every person has to come to that point where they have a radical change in their. I don't care if you grew up in a godly home. There has to come a point. See, Jasmine knows the day she got saved. Yeah, how many know you grew up under Brother Samuel's ministry? You think she ought to be saved all the days of her life. She knows the day, and it wasn't under Brother Samuel, right? It wasn't under your father. He was interpreting. Her dad was interpreting. Where was it? For a Swedish pastor. And that's the day when God wooed her and God opened her heart. And that day she knew she was born again. Now listen, it's God who changes us, then we cooperate with God. You know, testimonies where I got saved when I was, 8 years old, but I didn't really read the Bible. And the whole thing, listen, Ezekiel 36, let me say it. Here's what God would do. Here's Ezekiel 36. I love this scripture. This is what it says. I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you, and I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Go back and read that again, verse 26. God says, I will give you, it's quoted in the book of Hebrews, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you, and I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Listen, what happens is this, when we begin to believe that somehow we got saved as a kid, but basically, you know, we rededicate our lives. You don't rededicate your life, but you really never live for God. Here's what happens. I believe that many of you that thought you were saved as a kid, you really were not saved. You had a tugging, you had a response, but you never really gave your life over, the will of your own will turned over to God, and you said, I surrender all, this is it, I'm turning my entire life over to you, God. See, because if all you did was walk an aisle and sign a card, or all you did was pray a prayer, now say it, believe with your mouth, confess in your heart, and that's what, and somehow you got in this brain that just by the saying of it, and the believing of that, that's how it happened. Listen, if there was not a radical change in your life, you didn't get the real thing. If there wasn't a radical, if God did not take out of you your stony heart and put in you a heart of flesh, and then put in you His Spirit to where now you have a desire to walk in His ways, and there's someone else moved in with you. Listen, here's what He said. Because a lot of this stuff about I got saved back young, and I backslid away from God now, you know. But then 30, 40, 50 years later, I just sold out for God completely. And I surrendered everything, and I experienced God. Well, you got saved then. You didn't get saved. Let me look what Jesus said this in Matthew. Go to Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God, but only the ones who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, did we not prophesy your name and cast out demons and your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them, I never. Amen, brother. I never. Listen, he knew you when you were young, but now I don't know you, but now I know you again. He said, I never knew you. I never, never knew you. Only the ones that do the will of my Father from heaven, that is the only ones that will know the living God. Only the ones that do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Because he said, when that happens, when that radical birth happens, when you do confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart, and there's a surrender, there's a complete surrender, I give my life, he takes out of you a stony heart and puts in you a heart of flesh. And he puts his spirit in you, and suddenly you want to do the will of the Father. You want to follow God. You want to love him. You want to obey him. And there's this tugging on your life. And he says this, there's been a group of them that thought they were saved, and maybe when the child, he said, I never knew you. Not that I knew you back then and you backslid. I never knew you. But Pastor, I can't live for God. Like I've tried. The problem is you can't do it on your own. It takes a miracle. It takes the birth. And then the last one this morning. How can I know if I've been born again? How can I know? In some ways, it's just like getting married. If you said to me, Terry, are you married? And I said, you know, that's always been a tough question for me. I've never really, you know, be able to, you know, what would you think? Call the paddy wagon again. And I mean, just a little off. And yet people, when they ask, are you born again? Well, you know, that's always been kind of a hard question for me to, you know, answer. You know, I don't really, you know, listen, and respectively, I'm thinking they're off. And what I'm really thinking is they're not born again. Because they know, you know when you've been born again. You know the date of it. You know when it happened. Now, it's like marriage. Somebody, you know, it's like marriage because somebody comes to live with you. One of the ways I knew I was married, somebody moved in my house. Remember I told you how I kept house? Remember my things I learned? You never ever make your bed because you let it air out all day long. You don't hang all your clothes beside each other in some closet just to mildew. You hang them all over your house, over the back of chairs, over all that. You don't waste water. You believe in a green earth, and so you leave the pots in the sink dirty, and you just clean it. Next time you cook the same thing, you get the same pot out, and you recook it. And when this somebody moved in my house, she had never been taught these things. I mean, listen, it was like she was from another country. What are we having for lunch today? We're having sandwiches. I love that commercial on TV where you see the man and wife go in the house and she walks on into the kitchen and he's there at the alarm pad undoing the code. And he puts the code in, it doesn't work. He says, honey, did you change the code? Yeah, it's our anniversary date. And you might forget, the date of your marriage once. But you might forget the exact date, but you'll never forget the event. We were talking about our wedding the other day. An hour before my wedding, I was out just walking the streets of Pasadena. I was nervous. I was da-da-da. And I said, you know what? I ought to go in and get a trim. I ought to get it to look real nice. And I walked in this place, and I ought to known real quickly because they made me pay before I got my hair cut. You ever go into a place where they make you pay before they cut your hair? They made me pay before they cut my hair. And afterwards, I learned because I said, I'm getting married in an hour. And so they all gathered around. And I'm going to tell you, in Los Angeles, you've got some different looking people. Let me just say it that way. And they did my hair, and they sprayed it, and they did. When I walked in, my hair was standing straight up. I mean, just straight up, just straight up as you could be. And listen to this. When Samuel walked Jasmine down the aisle, I'm sitting there so enthralled in love. Jasmine walks up to me. She went, what did you do to your hair? It was very romantic. It was very... You might forget, think of this. What if someone asked me, Pastor, did you get married? And I said, well, that's always been a tough one. I think so. Listen, the same question is, have you been born again? I didn't ask you if you believed in you. I didn't ask you if you believe in God. I didn't ask you if you go to church. I didn't ask you if you sing. I didn't ask you if you know the Bible. I didn't ask any of those things. I'm asking you, have you been born again? Do you know a time, when it happened in your life? You may not know the exact hour, minute, date, and all that in terms of, you may not remember it, but there was a day when I know a radical change happened where God took out of me a stony heart and God put in me a heart of flesh. And God put his spirit in me and now he moves me to follow his will. You're basing eternity on this. You're basing eternity on this. And that's why I'm saying to you all, why not do it today? Why not make sure? Let me show you an example here. Let me use one of these. I think they played that one. Let me use this one here. I can do this without, yeah. Watch this. Here's what it is. Before you're born again, let's say hell is that way, all right? And let's say heaven is that way. And let's say this. Before I got saved, my whole life is pointing this way. And every once in a while, I would go to church and I attended it and I would hear something. I would walk an altar and I would go down the aisle and I would take my own strength and I would push myself. I'd try to push myself toward heaven. But then as soon as that wore off and I was back on my own again, shoom, yeah, we were back trying toward hell. And then I'd hear something or know something, and I would try to push myself to be good. I'd try to push myself not to do it. But as soon as I would let off, shoom, I'd go right back that way. But 43 years ago, over on 8181 Airline Highway, in a little missions work in a motel, an old pastor told a story about a boy that owned a boat and lost it and bought the boat twice. And I still remember the story to this day. And how he bought it twice, and he just likened that how God owned us once, and now God bought us back again with the blood of Jesus. And the day when I came down to that altar, listen, I just didn't believe in God. I didn't just believe. I said, God, I'm yours. I sell out completely. Lord, my life is yours. Everything you want me to do, Lord, I will follow you all the days of my life. Guess what happened? Just like this. And now, He took out of me a heart of stone and put in me a heart of flesh. And now, but see, ever so often, my flesh will want to do this. But as soon as I deal with it, shoom, I'm right back this way. And I'm trying to, but shoom, I'm back that way. And so what happens in life is, let me ask, when did that happen in your life? When did that happen in your life? When was it you were going that way, and your tendency was that way, and you tried to be good, and then you tried. When did this happen in your life? When did you make a 180 and absolutely heading the other way, and you, oh yeah, it's tender, your flesh, and you go back that way. When did that happen in your life? One of the greatest things about God, wherever you are, He will meet you if you're honest and you want Him to do it. Nick, come on up, would you? Whenever you want Him, one of my favorite songs of all time was a Kelly Willard song called Willing Heart. And somebody redid it. I don't know who this girl is, but she redid this song called Willing Heart. So I want you to bring the lights down, would you? And I want you just to take a minute. And if you're a heart this morning and you need a willing heart, you need God to give you a willing heart. I've learned this in my life. I can ask God to make me willing to be willing. God, will you make me willing? God, will you make me willing? God, I want to go to heaven. Listen to this song, then we're going to pray together. Close your eyes, would you? You know, the altar call is an American invention. Let me just say it's a late model invention. Many times in the Bible days, they would present the message and they would say, hey, you take this home. You deal with it. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There is such a need today for depth of work of the Holy Spirit. Not just a one time, okay, I've said, recited something, did it. And this morning, you know where you are. I mean, you know, I think it helps you kind of assess and say, you know what? I got a real problem here. Because I've based my eternity on the wrong thing. And I don't really think I'm going to heaven. I don't think I'm born. I've never experienced that experience. I've never been born again. I've never had God come in and change and take my stony heart and give me a heart of flesh and put His Spirit in me, and suddenly my want-tos have changed. The flesh will always desire the flesh. But now there's something new inside of me. Somebody's come in to live with me, just as real as the day I got married. Somebody is living inside me. Jesus said, I will come. My Father and I will come. The Spirit will come and make their abode, live with you. And that day when He moved in, that day when the Spirit came into your life, changes. Something came alive. There's a part of you now that wants to love God, wants to serve Him, wants to obey Him, wants to do all that. And so this morning, I'm challenging you. I'm not going to do an altar. I'm not bringing you to the front there. I'm going to challenge you, because I'm going to lead you right now in a prayer. And I want every eye closed. And I'm not going to call you up front, but I want to do this. How many of you really want God to do something in your life this morning in terms of being born again? Just lift your hand, would you? Those of you who want God to do it, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Put it down. God bless you guys. All right, who we're going to do? All the rest of us, we're going to pray with you. Because we want to, you know, I've always said this, make sure your election. Make sure your election. That's what Peter said. Make sure. Because this is eternity. This is forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. So the way that you do it is, the Bible says you do. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. So let's do that today. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you died for me. And that you were buried, but you rose again from the dead. And that you took all my sins upon you. And you paid the price that I owed. So this morning, I surrender my life totally. I ask you to take out of me this stony heart and put in me a heart of flesh and give me your Spirit that I might run in your commands, that I might love you. Change me, Lord. Let me be born again. Let me be born from above. Touch my life, oh God. I need you. I cannot do this on my own. So I surrender everything. No longer my will, but thy will be done. I ask it in Jesus' name. Now, Father, you've heard the heart cry of these that raised, those that's got a heart cry, those that raised their hand, those that didn't. But there was a desire to see a change and experience what you told Nicodemus that morning. You must be born again. And I pray, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, that, Lord, you're the one that gives life. You're the one that transforms. You're the one that all that call upon you shall, that Lord, you'll not turn them away, but, Lord, you'll do a work. And so every heart that's cried out to you, do the miracle, Lord, of the new birth this morning. Lord, let there be the Holy Spirit coming in and changing lives. Move in this morning, Lord Jesus. Move into lives this morning, Lord. Let there be a change. Lord, let them, when they leave this building, know something's happened. Somebody's living inside me. I can sense it. It's different, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the miracle, the new birth. We thank you, Lord, that you said, whosoever will can come and take of the waters of life freely. We thank you this morning that everyone that cried out to you, Lord, you will do it. And so, Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said a good amen. Give Lord a good clap offering this morning, would you? Now, let me tell you, those of you that responded that this morning, the hardest thing is try to do that on your own. You cannot do this. You need help. You need Jesus always made a group. That's why Jesus made a church. Because he knew that if it was capable of doing it by yourself, on your own, and knowing everything, you'd not be able to do it. You need to get into a small group. The small group is so important. We do small groups before church on Sunday mornings, and we do them during the week and all that. And if you need a place, you'd call the office and kind of tell us what kind of, well, how old you are. We can find out. We're going to find your group and fit you in it. And then if you don't like that one, you can move to another. But listen, you need to be around some other believers that can help, because you're going to have questions. You're going to have, you don't know what to, you know, things you don't know what to do and how to do and what to do. And you need encouragement, because listen, you now have an enemy of your soul. There is a devil. And you, listen, in your flesh, everybody, touch your hand. Touch each other, touch your hand. We touch your hand. See, your flesh did not go away. Your flesh is still going to want everything your flesh ever wanted. But you got to learn how to deal with that. How to crucify, the Bible calls crucify. You got to learn how to deal with that. You got to learn what condemnation is and how not to get under self-condemnation. You got to learn how to walk. You got to, and there's some things that you can learn that you're just starting now. It's a brand new life. You're born again like a babe, and you need some help. And so we really encourage you to do this. Listen, if you try to just do this on your own and go your own way right now, odds are it's going to be a very tough road. But if you get with some other believers and get in some small groups that we've got going on, you've got people and brothers and sisters that'll spend time with you and help you, and friends you'll learn, and they can talk to you and share with you and tell you all these things. So, Father, let's pray one more time. Father, we pray for these newborns. We pray, God, for protection over them. And, Lord, we pray that you and you alone, Lord, would open up hearts and lives of people. I ask you, God, we give you the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen one more time. Give Lord one more good clap offering. God bless you. All right, greet somebody today.